good to have everybody here today. And, we're going to wade back out into the deep. I'm going to say this before I get into the lesson today. Folks, this stuff is important. What we're covering in here in Sunday school is very important. Because I'm not talking about something that happened, say, back during the time of the Revolution, American Revolution or World War II, or the Great Awakening or all of these things, historical events as they were. I'm talking about what's going on right now and how that you can prepare yourself and warn your family members about what's happening. Father, bless the book. Give me wisdom. Give me the gift of teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now turn to Revelation chapter number 13. A lot of folks put no stock in numbers at all, but I do, because the Bible does. Verse number 18, 3 times 6. So the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, and verse number 18, 3 times 6, number of man. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. So there's a number associated with the Antichrist. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or it's 666. Now, when you look at the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, you'll notice some things happening in here that absolutely boggle the mind, because he's talking about wonders. Verse 13, he doeth great wonders. He maketh fire to come down from heaven. He deceived, verse number 14, he deceives those people who live on the earth by means of miracles, which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. In plain words, what you have here is a manifestation of power. The word is used over and over and over again. And if you'll notice carefully, verse number 2 of Revelation chapter number 13 says, "The beast which I saw was likened to a leopard, and his feet the feet of a bear, his mouth the mouth of a lion. The dragon, which is of course chapter 12, Satan, the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." Now folks, if you rule out the spirit world as having no power, you'll do it at your own peril. Because there is real power in the spirit world. Think about it for a moment. You are here today, if you're born again, by the power of a Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, who convicted you and led you to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his work. John chapter number 15, when he comes, he'll not speak of himself. He'll convince the world of sin because they believe not on me. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bring you to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. All the rest of them are unholy spirits. And you have to worry about that because you have to deal with it. And the Bible says that you have an issue with it because you have to discern the spirits. According to the book of 1 John, try them, discern them, know what you're dealing with. And only a born-again believer has the capacity to know how to do that. So therefore, do you believe the spirit world is real? Absolutely. And I honestly believe probably, I know in my lifetime, and probably in a long time, this earth has never seen the type of manifestation of spirit power as it's seeing now, and as it will see, because it will intensify and continue to intensify until it reaches that point where the Antichrist steps out and is made known. In other words, he's revealed. And 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 says that you will see the revelation of the man of sin. So that's coming. That's coming, and it's coming quickly. Now, if you remember last week, I mentioned Admiral Richard Byrd. I don't know if any of you bothered to go home and look this up on the internet. This man is what you'd call a hero. He was given the Congressional Medal of Honor. I would not say one word this morning to denigrate his memory and his place in American history. He's an American. He's a hero, Admiral Richard Byrd, first man to reach the North Pole, flew over the North Pole, and he also went to the South Pole. He took an expedition to the South Pole after World War II, of well over 4,000 troops, about 12, 13, 14 ships, and it's quite an expedition. And the purpose of it on the surface was one thing, but the real purpose of that thing was to go down there and check out a possible Nazi base or some kind of a base of operations that allegedly existed in the South Pole, and it was called Operation High Jump. And all you have to do is go home, type into your internet, Google Operation High Jump, and you'll pull it up. It'll be on WikiLeaks, it'll be all over the web, and it's a historical fact. It happened. Now, when Admiral Byrd flew over the North Pole, he apparently saw something. He experienced something that he recorded in his diary. And before he died, he felt like it was absolutely necessary for the world to know what he had seen. So apparently he had been denied making that known publicly by superior authority. He was, after all, he was in the military, and there's a chain of command in the military. And so he couldn't make it known until right before he died. He felt like that it was absolutely necessary to do it. Now, I'm not going to get into all of the specifics of whether or not what Admiral Byrd saw is a physical reality like you understand physical reality, but it was certainly, if this diary is true, it was a reality to him. No question about that. And that's what I want you to follow with me today as we go back into this and study what the text that we're looking at, because this is a real world that we're talking about. Yes, sir?
They had that on the History Channel this week, a documentary.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Well, good. Good. Did they say what I was saying?
They said exactly what you said.
Okay. Well, good. All right. I didn't know that. I'd like to see that. I'll get on the web and see if I can find that. All right. So the History Channel showed a documentary of the very thing that I was telling you about last Sunday morning. I had no idea. So the timing was perfect, wasn't it? All right. So, but in any event, here's the thing. I don't know what the History Channel conclusion was. I don't know what perspective they presented it. I don't know what, it's one thing to show something, it's something else to interpret it. And so that's the issue that's going on here, is how do you interpret these things. Now, there is a reality to it. It's a real thing, but it's may not be real as you understand real. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to spin words, twist words, or make it say anything that it doesn't say, but what I am going to try to do today is show you how that there is a reality that most people never really touch into, and it is a real world, probably more real than the physical world you're living in. Remember this now. Always remember this. Don't ever forget this. Everything physical, everything physical came forth from an invisible spirit being. He spoke it into existence. The Hebrew word is bara. So when Admiral Byrd flew over the North Pole, he saw this, and it may do you well to get on the internet and type up the History Channel. They show a lot of these documentaries online, and you can watch this and see how closely what they said goes along with what I say. But he saw this, and when he did, he saw these beings. He was led to a master who told him that what was going on planet Earth, they'd been observing this for a long time, and what was happening on planet Earth was causing great concern for these people who were living beneath the surface of the world and an area that entered into the what's called a hollow earth. There is a hollow earth theory. All right. Now, you know, if you're a Bible believer, you shouldn't stand in awe at anything, all right, if you believe the Bible, because the Bible is the Word of God. It has something to say about anything you're going to deal with in the spirit world. Make no mistake about that. It's going to deal with it. Now, I'm going to talk to you this morning about three aspects of what's going on here. I'm going to talk about outer space, inner space, and pure spirit, okay? Now, once again, outer space, inner space, and pure spirit. Now, there is no doubt that there is something going on with the so-called UFOs, all right, unidentified flying object. There is something going on. I've said to you before time and again that I personally feel like that it is demonic. I do not believe that there are any creatures living out there somewhere in the universe. I don't believe that. But it does not in any way lessen the fact that it is a reality. It is a reality that people have to deal with. These UFOs are real, folks. You may never have seen one, but I have talked to a number of people who have. And millions of people have seen them. witnessed and testified to what's going on. Now, there's a lot of theories that relate to UFOs and to other worlds and to beings from other worlds. The general theory is that somewhere in the distant past, they came down and planted some kind of a seed or some kind of a man or something on this earth, and they've been coming back observing this for a long time. All right, that's one theory. A lot of theories get involved. A lot of it's wild speculative stuff. But you're going to see in a moment how this begins to tie together if you'll just listen, because we're not. This is not funny book, and this is not. Playtime. I'm giving you serious stuff this morning, and I'm going to show you how that this comes together, and it's going to definitely affect you. All right. Now, how many of you ever heard of reptilians? A lot of you have. How many of you have ever heard of what's called reptilian shape-shifting? How many of you ever got on the internet and done a little bit of research and had these people who have these websites pull up the faces of presidents and their wives and all kinds of people and focus in on their eyes and see a slit that goes up and down like this, like a reptile, like a snake? And by doing that, of course, they're identifying them as a reptilian. Well, what's a reptilian? Well, according to their theory, Draco, the constellation Draco, the dragon, from that constellation, these creatures came down and they either inhabited men or sowed the seed in men or came into the bloodline of men. And what you see walking around a lot of times, instead of just a human being, you're seeing what's called a humanoid or something that is part human and part reptile. And they say through this vast complicated theory, the purpose is that one day they are going to rule the world. They're going to take over. Okay. Now, you say, well, that's wild, crazy stuff. I'm going to try to show you this morning how that Satan can weave a very intricate web. I want to show you how that he has a way of throwing you bait. And once he throws you bait, you know, how many of you ever fished? You bait the hook. And the fish goes after the bait, but it gets the hook. And that's the way Satan works. He'll throw you the bait, and then he hooks you, and then he pulls you in. Now, there's a lot of people out there, Christian people, who believe that there is a reptilian element in our society, in the world, and that they are in the process of taking over planet Earth. They believe that. All kinds of theories and, you know, different theories as it relates to this kind of thing. So what's going on? Well, the idea is that he draws you into a web of a spirit world, because when you get into this thing, you don't realize it on the surface. You're not just investigating. You are entering. Anytime, let me give you a warning. Let me give you a fair warning, all right? Because I have to do this as a minister of the gospel when I deal with this stuff. I have to constantly be praying and pleading the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can tell when a spirit being is beginning to move toward me, and I plead the blood of Christ against it. That when you start going into the spirit world, you'd better know what you're doing. You better, because you're going to get in trouble real fast. Real fast. Because these spirit beings are there to take possession of you. Now, they can't possess a Christian like they can an unbeliever, but they can sure begin to control your life. They can control you. This business of reptilians is one door. All kinds of different doors that are there that can cause you to enter in into this spirit realm. Now, how many's ever heard of David Icke? I-C-K-E. He's an Englishman. All right. I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, he came out with this reptilian theory about the reptiles, about the shape-shifting and all of that. He's a real smart man, folks. Very, 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 very smart. No question about it. You get on his website and you begin to look into the stuff he has, and he is the proponent of the theory that the reptilians are trying to take over the world, all right? And so he says, now this is some kind of an evil entity, all right? These reptilians are evil. They're trying to take over the world. And so I got to digging around on his website, and on his website, he advertises this woman, and her name is Maria Heller. And she is, he says, no fraud. This is the genuine article. I said, genuine what? Looked very careful, very carefully at it. She is a psychic master. Okay? She's genuine, she's real. He recommends her to his web viewers, to the people who follow him. She is a psychic master, a master of Reiki, R-E-I-K-I. How many's ever heard of that? Reiki. You'll hear about it before this day's over. She's a master of Reiki, R-E-I-K-I, all right? That is a discipline that's able to tap into the energy source. There's an energy source whereby you can be healed, and it brings great bliss and great peace and calmness to your soul. And it is it's this ability to tap into this wondrous spirit that's so beneficial and helpful for mankind. You say, what's that got to do with the Christian church? Got a lot to do with it when you find out who's pushing it. So that's what it is, Reiki. It's a vital life force. So I got to digging around a little bit on it because the other day I mentioned it to you, and some of you should remember that I mentioned Reiki, or Reiki as I might have called it at that time. And I thought, I'm going to find out a little bit more about this. So I got to digging around in Reiki or Reiki, and I was amazed at how quickly it tied in with Kundalini Yoga. It tied in with the seven chakra points in the body. It tied in with this serpent that rises up over the top of the head and weaves its power. You know, the two serpents that are entwined about the healing arts. Why does the serpent have anything to do with healing? You know, physicians still do in some branches of the service wire a pen that has a serpent on it for the healing arts, connected with the devil, connected with a serpent. So this Reiki, or Reiki, it is indefinitely connected with chakras, with Kundalini Yoga, with tapping into a spirit force and a spirit power. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Don't mess with yoga in any form, much less Kundalini Yoga. Don't mess with it. I don't care if your church, your pastor does it, and they have classes in the afternoon for it. Don't touch it, because you're opening yourself up for demon possession. Let me give you the testimony of I got this off the internet just a little while ago. I thought there's got to be somebody on here that has been into this, that has something that they can tell you about Reiki or Reiki. And lo and behold, there are websites devoted to it of Christians now who came out of this stuff. And here's the testimony of one. It said, praise God, I thank the Lord for your salvation. I took a Reiki weekend with a well-known Reiki master in Holland. During the Reiki seminar, we noticed that I could give really a lot of Reiki. Wow. Right after the Reiki seminar, a lot of strange things started to appear in my life. Within a few days, I changed from a happy girl into a depressive zombie. I always was a bit on the edge, but the amount of anger and hate which was in me was indescribable. I started to inform what Reiki really was and found your website, Reiki Dangers. This couldn't be true. The next day, I had an appointment with a Reiki master. He said, this is only a phase of purification, which is normal in the first 3 weeks after a Reiki seminar. No worries. And those Christians, he said, well, they are always so negative and short-sighted. I went home, quite relieved. But then everything went even worse. All kinds of things had an access in me. You can tell this is not an American talking. This is a European. I mean, somebody who's not real good with the English language, but in any way, they're giving you a good testimony. Through the Reiki channels, I saw cats coming out of the wall. I saw a man next to me who nobody saw except me. Flashes of light who took all kinds of shapes. Dead people and spirits who attacked me. At night, I heard loud voices who teased me and evil faces staring at me. When I saw two demons in my house, I ran to a healer who helped me and charged $500. She told me this was a big honor, and I was chosen. Went worse. The spirits tried to get me out of my body to control my thinking. If I fell asleep, I woke up because something was in me, on and on and on and on. But 2.5 months after Reiki, I remembered a book about the work of Jesus Christ. Although being anti-Christian, opened it and all pages turned black. Why can't I see this? That night before going to sleep, I prayed for the first time to Jesus our Lord and asked for protection, and all the attacks stopped. Afterwards, the attack came back. I cried out, "God help me," and I vomited in my car. Now I am I'm in a deliverance program with my church and dare to be home alone again. Wow. I know now that the Bible is no little finger who commands us what to do or not. The Bible exists because we have a caring Father who wants us to keep as far away as possible from the devil. The spirit world is real. But no one, not even the Reiki masters, have a clue of what really is going on. Only Jesus Christ can help us. She was delivered. Reiki. Here's what a physician said. This is just a pure medical doctor. He said this in 1976. His name is Joseph Meehan, Cambridge, Massachusetts, about Reiki. He said, "Reiki lays down a very tempting path. It promises peace and a light heart to any that would practice its art. It has a history that is both fascinating and mysterious. It even seems to have some as yet unexplained beneficial physical effects. Let this be, however, a solemn warning to any who try Reiki. Once it has taken hold, the Reiki craft will not release you easily. Once you have begun the Reiki process upon your own body, you will either continue it as the energy slave to a 173-year-old cult leader, or leave it on a path to despair or death." That's what Reiki will take you to. It'll kill you. You need to be warned. Be warned. You're going to see it popping up in churches all over Knoxville. It's already here. It's in Clinton. And it's coming via Rick Warren. Be warned that it is demonic to the very core. And it will take you into a world that you don't want to be in. Reiki. Now, this business of the spirit world, I want you to notice some things that become a pattern. You want to look for patterns. You want to look for consistencies. You want to look for things. Here's what to look for. Look for things coming from sources that are completely different from each other, that have no connection whatsoever, yet they're saying the same thing. Look for that. That's a consistency. That's something that you know that they weren't in conjunction with. They didn't conspire together to say it. But it is something that begins to form a pattern. And that's what you need to look for. And this spirit world, there is a pattern in it. And it's an amazing thing. You remember what I said about UFOs? Some people laugh at you, you know. Somebody said, "Ha, ha, that stupid preacher at Temple Baptist Church, he believes in little green men and flying saucers flying around." I never said I believed that for a minute. I never said that. If somebody tries to say that about me, you know, you're taking a cheap shot. You don't have a clue what you're talking about. I never said that for a minute. I said there's a reality going on that we need to understand, that we need to get into, because it's going to help you and it's going to help me and it's going to help other people to understand what's going on. You remember the movie, what was it? What was the name of that thing? Encounters of the Third Kind? Close Encounters of the Third Kind. What's his name? Spielberg. All right, now that thing made a lot of money. Made a lot of money and introduced a whole generation to the UFOs. All right. Now, that generation is the generation who brought on the generation today who love vampires. Vampires have become good. There's a good vampire and a bad vampire. You understand what's going on here? Remember once again, you have a circle. Inside that circle, you have a little S. You have a yin and you have a yang. You have a positive and a negative, a male, a female. You have two opposing forces joined together within one to make a completeness. That is Hinduism. That is Eastern mysticism. That is Eastern thought. But it is straight into the church now, right smack dab into it. It is to give you the opposing forces, bring them together. You need both. See what I'm saying? I'm not saying that. That's what they say. You need both. You need both in order to have the kind of power that they're talking about. So you need the wicked and you need the good. You need the righteous and the unrighteous. They think they can handle this thing. So it's you follow what I'm saying to you today. It's a completely different way of seeing things and thinking. It's what's called a paradigm shift. A paradigm shift is when you completely change from one perspective to another. Everybody in this world, if they have any view, has what's called a world view. A world view. Here's my world view. This world is ruled by the devil, the god of this world. And the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom that the Lord Jesus will bring with him. And all of you that are born again are born into that kingdom. My world view is that this world is cursed. And until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, the curse will not be lifted. And he must come back physically and take by force what belongs to him. That's my worldview. Any other worldview, you can have any view you want to. And I'm going to show you what the emerging church believes. But before we do, I want to show you something about UFOs. This, you don't hear much about this. You probably may have never heard any of it. But there are the outer space, inner space, spirit beings. Let's talk some more about the outer space. In other words, the outside, supposedly, coming in. These are encounters with aliens. They are listed as first kind, second kind, third kind, fourth kind, fifth kind. Some even go as the sixth and seventh. But here's what they are. Close encounters of the first kind is a visible sighting. You see something, as far as it goes. You saw something. Close encounters of the second kind is where you see physical effects. You see something that's going on. You see maybe a movement in and out of some kind of a vehicle. Encounters of the third kind is where you come in contact, with an alien being. Encounters of the fourth kind is where you are abducted by a spirit being. How many's ever heard of UFO abductions? Plenty of them around. Plenty of them. And I'm going to talk about one right now in a moment. UFO abductions. This is where somebody is taken by these aliens and taken into some kind of a craft or place, and all kinds of weird things, sometimes horrible things, are done to them. And then encounters of the fifth kind is where the individual is hurt or killed. And sixth and seventh, and on it goes. Now, I want you to remember, people that live in physical bodies most of the time can't know or can't see any more than the physical body. That's their reality. And the moment you're born again, the moment you are saved by the grace of God, you are conscious of a spirit force, a power that is far greater than you are. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. But an unsaved man has no clue of that. Now here is an encounter. This is one of these abductions. This is of the fourth kind. And this is the testimony of a young man who was abducted by these alien beings. And this is a thorough investigation that these men started out as nothing more than pagans. Two men started out as essentially pagan. They weren't Christian, but they wanted to get into the UFO phenomenon. They wanted to do some real investigation into it, and so they did. And it's kind of like Lew Wallace when he wrote, Ben-Hur? He started out a pagan, wound up a believer. You'd be amazed at how many have started to prove that Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, was a figment. He was a non-existent and got saved. All right, here's a couple of men who started out on this UFO thing. Now, here is their testimony. They said that after several weeks of intermittent brainstorming, one of our researchers finally put a new question to the group. Group sitting around, they're asking themselves, are Christians being abducted? For some reason that came up. Are Christians being abducted? All right, now listen carefully. Listen, hear it through. A fair question, and one, as far as they knew, had never been addressed by the UFO abduction research community, which is huge. I mean, there are people out there, friend, they see a green man under every leaf. Believe me, they do. Some folks go way off the deep end of this stuff. First, the question was addressed in the broader scope of religion in general. The local abductees were re-interviewed. Then they looked at the work of several other abduction researchers to see if any trends developed. At first, religious beliefs seemed not to be a factor. Christians, Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, agnostics, all seemed to share the same abduction experience equally. But as more case studies were looked at, a puzzling trend began to emerge. Listen carefully. The Christians reporting the abduction experience tended to be people who intellectually espoused the existence of God, but didn't apply it personally. They seemed to be an obvious absence of devout, Bible-believing, walk-the-walk Christians. Where were they in this equation? Then these researchers remembered an interview they had made with an experiencer a few months before. He related an experience that made them stop and take a closer look. The experience he related would eventually blow the lid off the mystery of alien abduction phenomena. This man was able to stop his abduction cold. Listen. Which, as far as they knew, had never been done before. And the way he did it is very extraordinary. What follows the case of Bill D. Bill's experience took place Christmas in Florida, 1976. His abduction started typically late at night in bed. Earlier in the evening, he saw some anomalous lights through his living room window over a forest north of his house. He assumed it was a police helicopter searching for drug runners or something. Whatever it was, it agitated his dogs for several hours thereafter. He eventually went to bed. He was lying in bed, kept wide awake by the barking dogs, when paralysis set in. He was unable to cry out. He could see nothing but a whitish gray, like a mist or fog, although he sensed something or someone or something was in his room. His wife didn't waken. The next thing he knew, he was being levitated above his bed. He then had the sensation he was being suspended by what felt like a pole that had been shoved into him. By this time, he was alive with terror, but he couldn't scream. Here is where the story becomes very interesting. The following is an excerpt taken directly from the transcript of Mr. D's interview. I thought I was having a satanic experience, that the devil had gotten a hold of me and had shoved a pole in me and was holding me up in the air, so helpless I couldn't do anything. I said, "Jesus, Jesus, help me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." When I did, there was a feeling or a sound or something that either my words that I thought or the words that I had tried to say or whatever had hurt whatever was holding me up in the air on that pole. And I felt like it was withdrawn and I fell. I hit the bed because I was like I was thrown back in bed. I really can't tell, but when I did, my wife woke up and asked why I was jumping on the bed. This man was able to stop his abduction. He was a real believer that this UFO abduction, this abductor had come to take possession of, and at the name of Jesus, he broke its power. Only because he was a real believer. Anytime you hear somebody say that at the name of Jesus that they could not break satanic power, it's because the one in it doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are a true believer in the Son of God, not talk the talk, but walk the walk, there is power in the name of Jesus. Now immediately, this is the kind of thing that ought to make you start thinking. You ought to be doing some thinking right now. Your mind ought to be racing right now. You should be saying to yourself, wait a minute. these UFOs, these gray men, there's grays out there, all kinds of stuff. We won't worry about all the details of that, but these UFOs and all this stuff, could it be that it is really associated with the spirit world? I mean, why is the name of Jesus? If these are creatures from some planet way out here somewhere in the never never world, in the nether world, you know, and they've got, what's the name of Jesus got to do with these things? You understand what I'm saying? There is no question that it is demonic and that the connection is demonic. That's exactly what it is. Yes.
In Exodus chapter 20, verse 4, it says, thou shalt make them to thee. Verse 3, it says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord God, am the jealous God.
Amen. Revelation 13, or 9, I think it is, talks about these beasts, these creatures that come up out of the bottomless pit.
Amen.
They come up out of the pit. They come up out of the earth. They come up on the earth. But what are they? Spirit beings, but they're real beings. Don't ever get the idea in your head because something is spirit that it's just floating around out here, you know, and it's you know, like some kind of a ghost or something. Folks, being a spirit being, there's more reality to it than you, because that body you're sitting in right there, it's going to dissolve and go back to the ground from whence it came. Where are you going? Because you're not that body. The spirit being is not subject to the laws of decay like your flesh is. Therefore, it makes it stronger. It lives in a different world. Yes, sir. Yeah. And it left. Mm-hmm. You hear what this man's saying? Well, now what you're saying is that you don't mind coming public with it. All right. A lot of people are afraid of ridicule. They're afraid they're going to be looked at as a nut if they say something like that, you know, oh, this nutball over here, he is talking about this. Exactly. The church that I was saved in had a lot of good people in it, no question about that. But I'm telling you right now, when it comes to spiritual truths like this, they were as ignorant as they could be because they denied the existence of demons. They denied, and that just boggles my mind. How in this world can you deny the existence of demons, unclean spirits, and say you believe the Bible? Yes, it is. It's very frightful because you're in the presence of a power. Yeah. Okay. Yes, sir.
Everything's opposite. 30 or 40 years ago, the preachers were saying the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back and the world's going to be destroyed. Now, in our lifetime, the scientists are saying the world's going to be destroyed.
Yeah. I know, that's
back then they said the churches preached that there was demons and principalities and powers, and now the church is saying that today they say no there isn't, but the people out there in the world are saying yes there are. They got shows proof.
That's right. That's what it is. All right, I want to bring this in before we close today because it's necessary and to give you an idea of what's going on now. I've mentioned the emerging church. How many has ever heard of that before? You need to hear of it. That's what's going on out there. That's what they are. That's the emerging church, the emergent church. They have a number of men who are the gurus, the teachers, the ones who write the books and hold the seminars and all that, of the emerging church. The Lighthouse website, it has this on the front. And this is by Barrett Kios of Kios Ministries. And I have great respect for this lady. Some of the quotes are, Pastor Rick Warren is hosting 3 health experts, including the star of the Dr. Oz show at Saddleback Church. The Bible says that God wants us to be as healthy physically as you are spiritually, Warren said. No scripture for that. Find that scripture. This is God's prescription for your health. Rick Warren, Dr. Oz, to partner on health plan. Now, what's the big deal about Dr. Oz? Reiki has become a sought-after healing art. Pamela Miles has been instrumental in the integration of Reiki into conventional medicine and has written an intelligent, sensitive guidebook to this remarkable healing practice. Quote, Dr. Mehmet Oz. All right? He's pushing. He's a proponent of Reiki. Rick Warren has him into his church. As the Reiki practitioner places her hands lightly on your head, you feel yourself drawn into a sweet state of relaxation. You notice that sometimes her hands feel warm, even hot, and deeply soothing. Each hand placement brings a sense of ease. Pamela Miles, Reiki, a comprehensive guide. So what's going on? They're being introduced to an occult world from the church. That's what's going on. And it's not just him. He's just one of many. It is this whole emerging church movement. All right, what's going on? Well, I'm telling you exactly what's going on. The Antichrist is molding, fashioning, preparing the so-called Christian church as the very groundwork for the rise of the Antichrist and the false prophet. That's where it'll come from. It'll come from these buildings that have crosses on them. Amazing, isn't it? That's amazing. All right. I've only got a couple of minutes, but here are some of the basic beliefs of the emergent church. Number one, they do not believe the Bible is the authoritative word of God, period. Don't believe it. Number two, they believe no hell, there is no hell, there is no judgment. All God wants for you is good, good, bless, bless, everything's good. Number three, the cross is offensive to these people, yet they call themselves Christians. They say they are Christians. Number four, they discourage rational thinking. The clear instruction of the Bible is no longer to be understood for what it says. They approach it like some of the old early church fathers did, on the allegorical method. In other words, there's deeper meaning, the Gnostic approach to it. Because everything with them now is the spiritual experience that they have. Bottom line is, if you come to our church and you feel something spiritually, whether it's yoga or Reiki or whatever you're into, good. That's the idea. That's the idea. As long as it's spiritual, it's good. Because there can't be any bad spirits out there. No devil out there. It's all good. Feels good, do it. Remember that one? And they embrace mystical practices not found in the Word of God. And here's their worldview. You remember what I told you my worldview was? Well, here's theirs. They believe that everything is getting better. They reject wrath and judgment. In plain words, they are part of this world. Hook, line, and sinker. This world is their home, and the spirit of this world is their spirit, and they believe that this world is getting better. Do you believe that? Folks, I've given you all stuff that ought to make, it should alarm you. You say, well, that's all in California. No, it's not. It's all over Knoxville. Yeah. But if you live in Knoxville, that ought to, you know, if it's all over Knoxville, you've got aunts and uncles, maybe even children, maybe even your parents, brothers and sisters, family members, friends that go to these churches. And they may try to indoctrinate you into it. Yes, sir. So you say, well, now, preacher, aren't you all just getting up there and blowing it out of proportion and you know, making a big deal, a mountain out of a molehill and all that? I mean, after all, we're here just to love each other. They don't know what the word love means. When I'm laying flat on my back and all the world's turned against me, the one who comes to offer me a helping hand is one who loves me.
Amen.
I've lived 64 years in this world. I don't hear your words. It's the one who helps me when I need help. That's the one who loves me. Not empty, meaningless phrases. Yes, sir. Did. And you can't just take that and just toss it aside. He meant it, didn't he? Yeah. Well, look at what happened there. I know we run a little bit over, but when Saul went to the witch of Endor and Samuel was raised, where'd he come from? Okay? He came up out of the earth. And that witch was scared to death because it was not an impersonating demon, it was Samuel. And but she couldn't handle that. She knew that there was a power there greater than hers, that God had raised Samuel up. And then Samuel, of course, rebuked Saul and said, "Where I am, you're going to be." And he was finished because he died in battle. Yes, sir. You sure can, brother. That's what this is all about. It's about deception. Here's the thing that I hope that it didn't fly across your head, and that is that these spirit beings are able to make physical manifestations that are even that can be like burnt ground or something of that nature. Think about that. We'll have a word of prayer and let you go. Father, bless the study of the book, and we pray you.